Glad to see you all tonight. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23 for a few moments. And I brought my copy of a book that I mentioned last Sunday night, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And I want to share with you some insights from Philip Keller, who worked as a shepherd. I think this was published in 1970 originally, to give some insight into a phrase that we find in the 23rd Psalm. I want to begin with Psalm 42, verse 11, however. The psalmist asks, "Why are you," and he's speaking to himself, "why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" And then he answers his questions, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." But I want to emphasize that question, why are you cast down, O my soul? Here's the insight from Philip Keller. He says, and he was a shepherd in the country of England, he says there is a phenomena concerning sheep where sheep is called a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. And the way it works is, and I'm trying to summarize his words, is you take a heavy sheep or maybe a long fleeced sheep and think about that fleece, that wool getting matted with different debris, and it becomes very heavy. And this same sheep may find a place on the ground, a soft place on which to lie down. And then the sheep just relaxes, and then with the weight of his own body and the weight of that wool around him, he just flips over on its back. And he can't get up. I mean, it's the sheep version of "help, I've fallen and I can't get up." Except for a sheep, it's not funny. Because that sheep, and I can just imagine four sheep legs sticking up in the air, and it's frantically trying to get back up, but it's weighted, it's been cast, it's a cast down sheep. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And I have to wonder if that was in the psalmist's mind. And it underscores the need for a shepherd. And a shepherd would be aware of this condition of a sheep, just as Philip Keller was. In fact, he says that one of the things he would do is that when he would go out to check on his sheep, he would first look in the sky and see if there were buzzards flying in that circle. And if so, he would immediately go out to his flock and begin counting his sheep. And if one was missing, he would go out and frantically search for it, expecting to find a sheep that had been cast down. You see, it's not only the shepherd who would keep a sharp eye for these cast sheep. Predators would as well. And you can imagine that vultures, that buzzards, that coyotes, that wild dogs, that cougars, or whatever animal it might be, would also be looking for this sheep that had been cast, because that would be easy prey. And that cast sheep was in danger of its life. If it was sunny and hot, that sheep might just live a few hours. If it was cold and rainy, it might stay in that helpless position for several days. Let me refer to another passage, and perhaps this same condition would apply. You remember what Jesus said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" And he makes application. "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And it makes me wonder, Jesus, in giving this parable, did he have in mind those cast sheep? Maybe shepherds would identify, and they could even imagine seeing the buzzards flying in a circle. And how that shepherd and how Philip Keller even says that this idea would remind him of some good times, but also some anxious times. When he would see the buzzards circling and frantically count his sheep, and if one was missing, he'd start searching for it. And then he might see this cast sheep off in the distance, and he'd start running toward it, knowing that time was of the essence. And the joy of finding that sheep was mingled with fear, because it might be too late. But when he would come to this sheep, the first thing he would do is gently roll the sheep onto its side, and then try to help it stand up on its feet. The circulation would be gone in the legs, and so the shepherd would hold, Philip Keller describes, he would hold his sheep and start rubbing the legs of the sheep, trying to bring the blood back into them. And he'd let the sheep go, and it might stumble, it might even fall at times, and he'd repeat the process, all the while speaking gently to the sheep, seeking to restore it. Until ultimately, the sheep would just scamper off back to the rest of the flock. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" the psalmist asked. "Why are you disquieted within me?" See, he's not just talking about sheep, is he? Many people are cast down. It may be discouragement, depression, despair. It may be fatigue, failure, frustrations, fears. It may be hidden hurts from the past. It may be wounds, battle scars, emotional garbage. But so many times we find ourselves cast down. But I want to underscore the words of the psalmist as we find strength for the journey in this psalm. The simple phrase, "He restores my soul." He restores my soul. I want to point out four of many, many different things that can cast us down, but see how the shepherd restores our souls. Some are cast down because of guilt. Nothing destroys a soul faster than guilt. Listen to Psalm 38. The psalmist says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning." Do you notice that reference, that his guilt overwhelmed him like a burden too heavy to bear? He's cast down. Guilt can cause us to be cast down. I think about that sheep looking for a soft spot on which to rest. And that soft spot, that choice of where to lie down, causes it to be easily tipped over and cast. Just like sometimes in our decision making, we choose a soft spot. We make a bad choice, and because of that, we have this overwhelming sense of guilt, and it's a burden very, very hard to bear, and we're cast down because of it. Even David, the author of the psalm, who was much loved of God, knew what it meant to be cast down and dejected. He had tasted defeat in his own life from wrong choices that he made. And we can read Psalm 32, Psalm 51, Psalm 38, and see just how cast down he was. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all know the guilt of sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Many times, as bad as we want to, we can't get rid of the guilt of that sin that we've committed in the past. It's still troubling us. Folks, there's only one solution, and that's to give it to God. He's the only one who can remove that burden. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Paul says. being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's the solution. Through Christ we may have the forgiveness of our sins. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And once we have been brought in contact with the blood of Jesus through baptism, and then as a faithful child of God who's striving to follow in the steps of Jesus but still stumbles and falls, knowing that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And to know that cleansing, to know that God forgives us, then we must accept the fact that He's forgiven us. And He restores our souls. You know, if we feel guilty about a sin that God has forgiven, that guilt is not from God. That guilt is from the accuser, from the devil himself. You see, before we commit a sin, Satan minimizes the sin. Perhaps we could almost hear his whisper, "Oh, it's no big deal." He minimizes sin. But after we commit a sin, then the devil magnifies that sin. He maximizes it and says, "Oh, that sin is far too great for you to ever be forgiven of." But God will forgive, and He does forgive. And through that forgiveness, He lifts that burden of guilt. And He restores our souls. Another thing that casts us down is grief. Not all the things in life that damage us are things that we bring upon ourselves. Sometimes we have grief because of things that happen to us. At times it's the circumstances of life that cause us to be cast down. And what do we do? What do we do when we're tempted to play the if-only game or the withdraw? We want to withdraw, hide in a cave, isolate ourselves from humanity. How do we deal with that? When the temptation is just to pull back and resign from life and be miserable, how can God restore our souls? David was also acquainted with grief. He understood how much it damages our souls when we hurt. Listen to Psalm 31, verse 9. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes waste away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. He's overwhelmed with it. But yet David wrote, "He restores my soul." How does the shepherd restore our souls? I wish I had the magic words, but this I'm confident of. The only way to do it is to find our strength in God. Psalm 28, verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him." That's where our strength is found. That's how He ultimately can restore our souls from this burden of guilt. Sometimes it's grudges that cast us down. We feel guilty for what we've done to others, but we feel grudges, or we hold grudges about what others have done to us. And it's a harsh reality that at times people will hurt us. It's a fact of life, and sometimes it's unintentionally, sometimes it's intentionally, but it's a fact. And how we handle the resentments of life determine whether we become bitter or better. And there's only one letter that's different in those two words, bitter or better. I want to highlight the letter I. I make the choice. I can choose whether the circumstance will devastate me or direct me on a new path. What do we do with the hurts that have piled up, with all the emotional garbage that I still feel, that resentment that just tightens up my stomach every time I think about it? What do I do with the grudges that cause me to be cast down? Job 5 verse 2, we read, resentment kills a fool and envy slays the simple. A paraphrase might be, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Because holding that grudge, holding that resentment never hurts the other person. It only hurts us. So what do we do with our grudges? What do we do with our resentments that cast us down? Listen to Romans 12, 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You leave it to God. You give it to God. You give that grudge to God. God is weighing me down. I'm cast down. I can't go through life with this grudge on my heart. And so I'm going to give it to God. As Paul said, let all bitterness, and that's long-standing resentment, that's holding that grudge, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, but be put away from you with all malice. Let it go, he's saying. Release it. Give it to God. Give your grudges to God. Let them go. And he will restore your soul. One other thing that can often cause us to be cast down is the grime of the world. The grime, the grit, the smut, the soot can weigh us down. Another cause of a literal sheep, becoming cast is simply having too much wool. And that fleece becomes very long and heavily matted with mud or manure or burrs or other debris. It's so much easier for that sheep to be cast. And there's a parallel, isn't there? When I find the clinging accumulation of things, of worldly ideas, worldly activities, they begin to weigh me down and drag me down and hold me down. The grime of the world. Jesus is using a different imagery. He speaks about the soil of our hearts. And he says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. The thorny soil. But it's those very things that can weigh us down, cause us to be cast. Luke's version, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they've heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. They weigh us down. How can we be restored? Well, we need to be sheared. We need to be sheared. We need to have all that removed. And that's what God wants to do for us through Christ is to shear all that junk off of our hearts and lives. And there's a part that we play, and it's called repentance. And we got to choose to make the choice to get rid of these things, these worldly thoughts and ideas and activities, and that repentance, carrying it forward, meaning that we make the choice to stay away from those kind of things. We stay away from the manure and the burrs of this world. We abstain from every form of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Because that grime can weigh us down and cause us to be cast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Again, the psalmist, He's talking to himself. He says, instead of being cast down, weighed down, disquieted, having no peace, he tells himself, this is what I need to do. I need to hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Mr. G noticed the title of the sermon tonight, I believe. Couldn't help but notice the words of this song that we sang, Into the Heart of Jesus. Why he should stoop to lift me up from the miry clay, saving my soul, making me whole, though I had wandered away. Wandered away, become cast. But here's the shepherd, comes running. He picks us up, speaks gently to us, words of forgiveness, words of hope, words of encouragement, and he sets us back up on our feet so that we can continue living for him. Why are you cast down? Do you need to come to the shepherd? He will restore you. As the psalmist says, he restores my soul. If you need the prayers of the church, if you're ready to obey the gospel, please let that be known. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing.